today's message. New covenant reality meets Tanakh-centered truth. You can think about that for a while, and I'll fill in the blanks as we go along. What have we learned over the past 10 months while living through this pandemic? One of the greatest things we have experienced is the restriction as a congregation to come together. Beginning in April of last year, there was a lockdown for 15 days intended to flatten the curve and prevent an overflow to our hospital system. Thus, we were being asked to isolate in order to prevent the spread of the virus. After 15 days, for which some medical experts had indicated was needed, did not flatten the curve to the desired levels. Thus, we were encouraged to isolate an additional 30 days. This encouragement came from the COVID task force led by the vice president. It would be during this time that governors were given emergency powers, and thus rolling and varied lockdowns from state to state were born. We would witness each state respond in their own way. Some states were extremely strict, while others not so much. On one end you have New York, on the other hand you have South Dakota. Two very different approaches to the same thing. We as a congregation, like many others, had to revert to an online service to merely stay connected. The very dynamic for which Adonai conveys to us. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, Adonai God said, "It's not good that the person should be alone. It's not good to be alone. I will make for him a companion suitable for helping him." So we were created to be social, not isolated. Many of us have learned firsthand it is not good to be alone. The 2.5 months when we were restricted to meeting, online only, took a toll on many of you. The sheer need for human interaction was becoming more and more self-evident. We are seeing this challenge today, and specifically in schools, which in some states remained locked down. Virtual learning has not been the answer in teaching our children. The impact is being noticed. Teen depression and suicide have greatly increased. What we don't know is the long-term impact on the development of our children's social skills. Schools not only teach our children, but is where they garner and further develop their social skills by interacting with others face-to-face, not virtually. What lingering impact will this all have? We have persevered through these restrictions, but there has certainly been an impact on each individual. I will go out on a limb and say everyone in this congregation has experienced some level of impact due to isolation. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like if this pandemic were to happen 30 years ago, when there was no internet and cell phones were not as widespread. Keeping in mind the iPhone, 2007, that's when this whole social virtual phone thing really took form. I believe the repercussions would have been devastating. There would be no virtual anything. Learning, congregational meetings, shopping, whatever. Technology is a double-edged sword, and thus today has enabled us to at least survive, yet not be totally isolated. We have experienced restrictions due to COVID, yet we are not denied because of COVID. What do I mean by this? During this time, we could not do what we do the way we would have done it. Yet this doesn't mean we are unable to still do what we are called to do. In other words, just because of this doesn't mean you can't do what you've done. You just can't do it in the manner by which you've normally done it. As believers in Messiah, the gospel message has not been paused or put on hold because we are restricted from meeting, or we can only have X number of people at a service. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them into the reality of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even to the end of the age. And I will add, even though I'm not supposed to, even during a pandemic, I will be with you always. Notice what is not in this mitzvah. It does not say, go if you are able, go if there are no restrictions. And verse 19 doesn't say, go when you believe it is safe, go when you feel up to it. Verse 19 says, go and make, two aspects of action, both verbs. So in other words, you can't just do something, you have to doubly do something. Two verbs, two actions, and you have to do both. Has anyone, with all the many options of social media, actually met someone new over the last 10 months? Have you reached out to someone you don't know or haven't interacted with in quite some time? Today we are fortunate that we have such tools at our disposal, keeping in mind that they are tools to communicate, but not a substitute for interaction. It is a means by which we are able to stay connected, but it is not a substitute for physical and in-person interaction. Though online communication, only two of the senses are engaged, sight and hearing. Yet we are not made to function with only 40% of what God has given us. We have five senses. Many things have changed during this pandemic, whether permanently or not, is still to be determined. The new normal has been spoken from the lips of many in government, for I believe to prepare us for new legislation relating to things that have occurred during these last 10 months. This is something that I've been speculating on. I will give you one. Imagine this. Imagine that every winter there's now a mask mandate to prevent the spread of the flu. So out of this pandemic came a new normal with a law saying that if you go out and it's flu season, you have to wear a mask. Like I said, I'm just speculating. Whether that happens or not, I can see it becoming more of a normal than an exception. Yet there still is a normal that exists and we must continue to do. It is Adonai's normal. Our interaction with each other, our love for one another within the body of Messiah, and thus the extension of that love to others. Let us not be stifled by what we have experienced over the last 10 months. Let us not be discouraged by what we have experienced over the last 10 months. It's easy when you're confined and you are, in essence, being deprived of certain things that you need, that you become discouraged. Depression is on the rise. We see it within the schools. Well, we don't see it within the schools, but we see it within the students, not at the schools. Though we have seen a great deal of change over the last 10 months, know this. The writer of Hebrews conveys, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus the word of Adonai does not change either. For this remains true also, Romans 6:14. For sin will not have authority over you because you are not under legalism, but you are under grace. Another verse, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That hasn't changed either. Everyone is in need. The pandemic has not isolated us from this reality. We do not have a pandemic pass or COVID redo. Thus, our responsibility is still a necessity. We are essential workers. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, the writer goes on to say, see, the word of God is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts through to where soul meets spirit and joints meet marrow. And it is quick to judge the inner reflections and attitudes of the heart. Before God, nothing created is hidden, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must render an account. That doesn't get put on hold because of this. We are still His witnesses. His word, the very word we teach in order to live by, is our very life support through all times, pandemic or not. True Torah teaching will pierce the heart and assist to engrave the words of Adonai upon the tablets of your heart. The social dynamic is witnessed in Torah itself. After Aaron and Miriam had spoken against Moses, and Adonai responded in Numbers, Bamidbar chapter 12, the anger of Adonai flared up against them, Aaron and Miriam, and he left. But when the cloud was removed from above the tent, Miriam had saaretz, as white as snow. Aaron looked at Miriam, and she was as white as snow. Aaron said to Moses, "Oh my Lord, please don't punish us for this sin we committed so foolishly. Please don't let her be like a stillborn baby, with its body half eaten away when it comes out of its mother's womb." Moses cried to Adonai, "O God, I beg you, please heal her." Adonai answered Moses, "If her father had merely spit in her face, wouldn't she hide her face in shame for 7 days? So let her be shut out of the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back in." Miriam was outside the camp for 7 days. She was isolated and quarantined, separated from all human interaction. However, she was not lost nor forgotten. Because in verse 16, it says afterwards, and I would say after the 7 days, the people went on from Hetzeret and camped in the Paran Desert. The entire nation waited. The entire nation paused for one person before they would move on to their next destination. This is a dynamic of community that we need to embrace. We see this very same dynamic with Aaron and his death, whereby the entire community mourned in Bamidbar, Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 25. "Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, bring them up to Mount Hor. Remove the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar, his son. Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will die there." So this is a transition of priesthood from father to son, generation to generation, Lador of Ador. Moses did as Adonai had ordered. They went up onto Mount Hor before the eyes of the whole community. The whole community was there. Moses removed the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar, his son. And Aaron died there on top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down the mountain. When the entire community saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned Aaron 30 days, the whole house of Israel. This is the community dynamic we're talking about. It is not good for man to be alone. Together we both comfort and courage and encourage. Together we both mourn and rejoice. This pandemic is coming to a close regardless of what some of the medical experts keep telling you. Our time of isolation and restriction are coming to an end. Until they do, reach out to someone. A strong community must first begin within you and then be immersed within your home. We recite this every Shabbat. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You are to love Adonai with all your heart, all your being, and all your resources. These words, which I'm ordering you today, are to be on your heart." An order is a mitzvah, a commandment. "And you are to teach them carefully to your children. You are to talk about them when you sit at home, when you're traveling on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. Put them at the front of the headband around your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, everything from the white picket fence inward. God should be in the family. God should be amongst the parents. God should be amongst the children. And thus, each home immersed in this truth extends to and becomes a community, a nation which is merely a community of communities. Consider this, Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 22. Therefore tell the house of Israel that Adonai Elohim says this, I am not going to do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have been profaning among the nations where you went. I will set apart my great name to be regarded as holy, since it has been profaned in the nations. You profaned it among them. The nations will know that I am Adonai, says Adonai, when before their eyes I am set apart through you to be regarded as holy. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you from all the countries, and return you to your own soil. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you to live by my laws, respect my rulings, and obey them. Live, respect, and obey. That's a sermon for another day. I will put my spirit inside you and cause you to live by my laws, respect my rulings, and obey them. You will live in the land I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and increase it, and not send a famine against you. Community of communities, a nation. And from a community of communities goes forth the message of Messiah to the world. Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmidim, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age. A community of communities of communities. It builds upon, yet it all starts with one person interacting with another. One person developing a relationship with another. One person sharing with another. The Tanakh is the foundation of what is espoused in the pages of the Brit Chadashah. And I want to share with you, we're going to be doing this later today, the conclusion from Lesson 11, Part 2 of How to Study Torah. We as Messianic believers have been too passive in our manner and methods of teaching Torah. Each of us must renew our commitment by our actions, not just our words, to personally know Adonai, the Elohim, the God of all Israel. It is one thing to proclaim that you are believers. It is a completely different thing to live as believers. Until we are willing to embrace the study and practice of Torah with all of our hearts, as Messianic believers, we will never see the learning of Scripture as an obligation given to us from the Master Teacher himself. We are commanded to study the Scriptures, not just read them. Reading is not studying. To study means to make an effort, to be prompted in earnest, to be diligent in labor. Do all you can to present yourselves to God as someone worthy of his approval, as a worker, with no need to be ashamed because he deals straightforwardly with the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. This was the very first scripture Jerry ever gave me. Before I was a believer, was inscribed in the Bible she gave me. That is the key for everything else. To know God, you have to know His Word. And in order to live according to His Word, you have to know it. You have to study it. Exploring the Scriptures is to be a challenge and requires to be contemplated, meditate, and practice its truths. Each end becomes a new beginning, and each answer a new question. As long as Gentiles are satisfied with the intellectual fact of their Hebrew roots, a term I detest, because it's not about the roots, it's about the heritage, they will never begin to actually do the Torah and guard its commands. They will continue to sit and learn for years, but never taste of this richness that is within the scroll or the pages of the words of Torah. Torah study per se is insufficient unless it is transformed into action and obedience. You can't just be a lifelong student without graduating and taking it and applying it somewhere. Study is not the goal. Rather, the deeds are. If one's deeds exceed his knowledge, then his knowledge will endure. But if one's knowledge exceeds his deeds, then his knowledge will not endure. Think about that for a while. It's something that you need to sort of marinate on. Consider Hosea 2:19 and 20. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in grace, and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you will know Adonai. And then how about 1 John 3:7? Children, don't let anyone deceive you. It is the person that keeps on doing what is right who is righteous, just as God is righteous. The time is now for believers in Messiah to take hold of the Tanakh-centered truth pertaining to the concept of relationship building and once again become a set-apart people to Adonai as we follow His instructions and expand His kingdom. And thus I want to leave you. You may like this, I don't know. But if you wonder how my mind works when I'm preparing a sermon, you will now have a glimpse. I am a product of my generation.
You could win $20,000.
When I first tried Fabergé Organic Shampoo with pure wheat germ oil and honey, it was so good I told two friends about it, and they told two friends. And so on, and so on, and so on. And believe me, there's still nothing like the original Fabergé Organic. It gives me super shine, super body.
And super fresh smelling hair.
Try it, and you'll tell your friends about it. And they'll tell their friends, and so on, and so on. Be sure and get the original Fabergé Organic Shampoo and Conditioner with pure wheat germ oil and honey.
You get the gist. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. Really, it's not. So, don't let this time, even though it's coming to an end, regardless of what you hear, whether now or later, interact with someone. Someone that's new. Someone you've never met before. Let them see Messiah in you. Let them say, there's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. But remember, when they see you, let them be seeing Messiah. So everybody please rise.